From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Barry Anderson. It's Monday, December 11th. Coming up, we'll learn more about the challenge of getting children access to the mental health support they need. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Chicago alderpersons continue to lay blame over the failed construction of a migrant base camp in Brighton Park. Tessa Weinberg reports.
Alderperson Andre Vasquez has opposed the use of winterized tents. He supports the state putting a stop to it.
I think in real time we're watching the problems that could occur. We still don't know how much money's been spent to even build up what was at Brighton Park, knowing that it's unfinished and won't continue.
The decision not to use the site led to the city and state placing blame on each other. Mayor Brandon Johnson's ally, Alderperson Carlos Ramirez Rosa, says Johnson is not the first to experience tension with the state.
This is now the second mayor that the governor has bumped heads with, and I think folks that are thinking critically should ask themselves, what's the common denominator?
The city and state say they will work together to open other shelters ahead of winter. Tessa Weinberg, WBEZ News.
A new group in Champaign has started to advocate for reparations for African Americans. IPM's Emily Hayes has more.
In the 1940s, racial covenants were written into new subdivisions in Champaign County, restricting almost 800 pieces of land from being owned or rented by anyone who wasn't white. Jeffrey Trask is one of the leaders of the Champaign-Urbana Reparations Coalition. He says you can see how years of racism affected the areas where Black people were allowed to live.
You look at those particular areas and you can see a lot of disparities there. You can look at numbers in terms of home ownership versus renting. You can look at disparities in terms of healthcare statistics among African Americans and others.
Evanston, Illinois was the first city in the country to offer mortgage help, down payments, and direct cash to its Black residents to repair past racist housing practices. Trask says his group is learning from their example, but isn't sure what their ideal form of reparations is yet. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
For more on how reparations are working out in Evanston, join the 21st Talk Show at 11 a.m. on AM 580. The Jewish Festival of Hanukkah is underway. As Reginald Hardwick reports, many at the University of Illinois are thinking about the Middle East as they try to celebrate.
Ask the provost to help us as we flip that switch.
U of I provost John Coleman joined members of the Illini Chabad to light a menorah in front of the Illini Union Thursday night. Sophomore Daniel Newman says celebrating with fellow Jewish students makes this tough time easier.
Being able to be here and show there's a community and people supporting each other is making every struggle better.
Newman, another attendee, said their thoughts were on the 1,200 Israelis killed during the October 7th attack by the terrorist group Hamas. The Festival of Lights celebrates the spiritual strength of the Jewish people and the miracle of a little bit of oil keeping a temple's menorah lit for 8 days. I'm Reginald Hardwick reporting.
The Fighting Illini women's basketball team lost to the Michigan Wolverines yesterday at State Farm Center 84-48. This was the Illini's first Big Ten conference game of the season and first home loss. Three Illinois players scored in double digits as the Illini fell to an overall record of 5-3. Illinois will play the Missouri Tigers at home next on Sunday, December 17th at 3 p.m. in the McBride home bragg and rights game. Still to come, we'll learn more about the challenge of getting children access to mental health support. That story is next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. In late 2021, a coalition of some of the country's top pediatricians declared the youth mental health crisis a national emergency. Peter Medlin heard from families and care providers about how challenging it is for children to access the mental health support they need.
As a warning to listeners, this story talks about suicide. So if you or someone you know may be considering suicide, contact the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. Na is 14 years old. She loves science and is a talented artist. She's creative and loves gaming. Over the past few years, she's also had a number of severe mental health challenges. She's been hospitalized and ultimately landed in an inpatient facility in another state, hundreds of miles from her home. Her mom, Brittany Cotton of Rockford, says that every step of the way, youth mental health services have been inconsistent, inadequate, or unavailable.
This whole situation with services being so difficult, the overall feeling is isolation. That is the hardest part of all of it, is feeling like you are the only one facing this alone.
For many kids like Na, the first person to notice something is wrong is a teacher. Since the pandemic, the vast majority of public schools say they've seen an increase in students seeking mental health support, and schools have tried to step up in many ways. In Illinois, the state launched a hotline called Safe to Help that allows students to raise red flags about themselves or friends they're worried about. Students can take mental health days off from school, and many have used pandemic relief funding and secured federal grants to hire more counselors, social workers, and school psychologists. Genevieve Maltby is a school social worker at the Harlem School District in McChesney Park, and she says they've seen an increase in student need, but not an increase in staff to meet that need. So social workers like Maltby are forced to react to student incidents instead of proactively helping them before a major problem develops.
It's a bit like triage in war, because really, at the high school level, I don't have time to sit with a student for a lengthy amount of time. So it's really just about like getting in quick fixes, and that's not effective at all.
Even with so many short-staffed, school-based support can be genuinely helpful. According to her mom, it was for Na.
Schools would sit down and try to talk to her, try to work through things. Often, didn't work that way. They had to get me involved. But they would take more time to check in on her than any of the services we were involved in.
Back at Harlem, Maltby says one misconception that people have is that school social workers commonly provide one-on-one behavioral therapy to students. At Harlem, they don't, but they do partner with community organizations and agencies so they can refer students out for therapy. Sometimes therapists from those agencies even come in and provide treatment at the school, but as Maltby says,
not as many as I think we should. I think that's an area that we could definitely provide more services for. But that being said, when we do offer that, it fills up quickly and then we're short-staffed again because they don't have the people either.
That's another crucial point. Even if kids are referred out for therapy, it might be a while before they actually see a therapist due to long wait lists. And if that child is in a mental health emergency and threatening their own life, advocates say that waiting can be very dangerous. Marshmallows Hope is a nonprofit in Rockford that provides youth mental health counseling and mentorship. Laura Kane is the founder and executive director, and she created Marshmallows Hope after her son Zachary died by suicide in 2018.
The reason why Marshmallows Hope exists is because of the lack of services and the wait list that other entities in the community were struggling with.
3 years ago, the organization started as a mentorship program for kids struggling with mental health. But then a child they were mentoring attempted suicide, and they couldn't get them into therapy for months.
We had a second child who attempted, and then they couldn't get him into services until June. So 6 months of a wait list, right? That child reattempted again. But at that point, I petitioned Winnebago County, and I was like, we need to do something. I need to hire a therapist.
And Kane says those situations weren't outliers.
It was 6 months wait on average to get them into therapy. And that's deadly.
Those wait lists still exist, but groups in the Rockford area like Marshmallows Hope and the National Youth Advocate Program can't provide immediate, short-term counseling while kids in crisis wait for long-term therapeutic options. Brittany Cotton says she wishes Marshmallows Hope had existed in early 2020 when Na needed help the most. At that point, they were caught up on wait lists, and then once they finally got a good therapist, staff turnover and inconsistent sessions made progress more difficult, especially as the pandemic was unfolding unfolding and COVID interrupted services. Kane says that the number of kids requiring mental health services has skyrocketed with the pandemic. They currently have nearly 170 children receiving services, and 90% of those kids have attempted suicide. And she says that while the need has increased, the number of community support services has not. I'm Peter Medlin.
We'll have part two of that story tomorrow, where Peter looks at the struggle for kids who need inpatient services in Northern Illinois. And finally, in your forecast, today will be partly cloudy with a high of 41 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Tessa Weinberg, Emily Hayes, Reginald Hardwick, Colin Highslope, and Peter Medlin. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.